Monster back with you on the Sound Off, and on the line, in my opinion, is the greatest professional wrestling announcer of all time. He is a WWE Hall of Famer, and he makes his debut as the new play-by-play voice for New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access Television this Friday, March 4th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Good old JR, Jim Ross, is with us. Jim, welcome.
Oh, thanks, Jason. Good to be with you.
Now, as a fan of your work, I was very excited when I heard that you were coming back to the broadcast booth on a weekly basis. How did the whole deal with Access come about?
Well, I guess somewhere in November, as best I understand it, Mauro Ranallo told Access that he was negotiating with WWE, and it looked like he was going to go there, and which he did. And so they immediately called my business manager, Barry Bloom, in Los Angeles, and wanted to know if I would be interested in doing the Friday night show. So Barry calls me and, hey, you want to do the Friday night show on Access? And I said, what about Mauro? He said, well, Mauro's, but I didn't want to do it at Mauro's expense, for God's sake. So I, he said, well, Mauro's going to WWE. So I didn't know that. So good for him. So Barry started negotiating with Access, and by, first of the year, we had a deal, and it worked out great. You know, the travel's manageable. The job is I love the product. I really like working with Josh Barnett. He's perfect analyst for this product. And I like the fact that Mark Cuban has a lot of money. So it worked out good for everybody. We all won.
Now, you mentioned Josh Barnett. I was going to ask you about that next. You're calling the action alongside him, former UFC heavyweight champ. You've been in the studio with him. You've had the chance now to call several matches together. How's the chemistry so far?
Good. No problems. You know, the good thing was that Josh and I were friends, Jason, before we started working together. So we always got along and had a friendly rapport. We didn't exchange Christmas cards, but we were friends. So the ice was broken there. There was no issue there. But the rhythm and the timing and the cadence and the pace and all those things really came together well. I would say by the end of the first day, we did three shows day one, we were where we needed to be at that point. You know, with that many hours behind us, we were ahead of the curve. We had a great second day, three more shows. So I really believe that we're gonna be a viable team. He's very easy to work with. And he's very, very intelligent. And, again, like I said, I can't think of anybody that I've worked with in the past that would be a better color analyst than Josh Barnett for this New Japan product.
Now, I've had a chance to watch the screener for the first episode, really enjoyed it. The two matches this Friday are Shinsuke Nakamura defending the IWGP Intercontinental title against Hirooki Goto. Okada teams with Yoshihashi against AJ Styles and Yujiro Takahashi. When I watched it, it struck me, you know, it really sounded like you were in your comfort zone calling these matches. I mean, would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I was digging it. You know, I was really having fun, and the product's just compelling. The feeling I got doing those matches was a feeling that I used to experience on a pretty regular basis back in the Mid-South Wrestling and the NWA days. Just guys are laying their stuff in, they're working snug. Not careless, not dangerous, but snug and physical. And the things they were doing were logical. So the story was easy to tell. And if the story is easy to tell, more often than not, the story is easy to follow.
Now, you mentioned Mid-South. I mean, I think I may know, you know, your answer to this. But if I asked you, as someone who has worked in many different places over the years, you've seen a lot of wrestling, what promotion or territory from yesteryear would you say the New Japan product most reminds you of?
Well, you know, you could say Mid-South just from their bell to bell, but the whole presentation, because of pyro and music, playing in arenas and not smaller venues as a rule in New Japan, it kind of reminds me of the heyday of the NWA when Crockett was increasing his production values. They get on TVS. They had the Clash of Champions, those type of things. I felt that would be a pretty good comparison. But if you strip away all the whistles and bells, just go straight to the to the stake of the matter, Mid-South is a real good comparison.
Now, you replaced Mauro Ranallo on the show. He has since moved on to SmackDown. I mean, were you surprised by the move? I guess more that WWE would be interested in bringing him in and letting him continue with his MMA work?
I was surprised that there was a position available because I thought that with the two younger announcers that they've been utilizing, that they were covered. But it's a very strategic hire for them. I heard that Paul Levesque and Michael Cole were instrumental in that hire, and certainly they were able to present Mauro and his work to Kevin Dunn, who's the executive producer. So Mauro's got some good allies there already. But, you know, he deserves a break. I mean, he's really good at what he does, and he's a good fit for them. I think that it's just a great hire. But I was surprised that he went there because I just didn't know they were looking. But when I heard about it, I was very happy. I didn't equate the thing about, it gives you an opportunity to go to work. I really wasn't looking for that gig. The best things are you run across are what you're not looking for. But I know how badly he wanted to be a part of that organization along his journey. And obviously, if you get to that level, you want to be doing something at WrestleMania. I think it would be a great move by WWE. As long as WrestleMania is, like probably a four-hour show, I would have Mauro and I'd have Jerry Lawler be involved in the call some way, take some of the load off the other guys. But Mauro's a great hire, and I'm happy for him.
I mentioned Nakamura and AJ Styles before, both of whom are now with WWE. I want to ask you about Nakamura. You called last year's Wrestle Kingdom show. You had a chance to meet him, get to know him a little bit. He's very charismatic, but we've yet to really see a Japanese star break through as a major player in WWE. I mean, we had great Muda had a nice run, obviously, in the NWA for a while, but why do you think that is, and if he can stay healthy, how high do you think his ceiling is in WWE?
I think that not thinking outside the box creatively for these talents is an issue. You've got to get the shackles of yesteryear off of you. We can't continue to memorialize December 7th, 1941, where every Asian is an enemy. Not disrespecting what happened at Pearl Harbor, for God's sakes, but, come on. As Lawler says, you can't grieve forever. And I think we need to move on. So I think one of the reasons is that the wrestling promotions were just hell-bent on not changing. And the audience changed. The audience moved on. WCW missed a great opportunity for a massive babyface run with a great Muda. And, I couldn't, some of us wanted it, and the others on the booking committee outnumbered us and did not think it would work because, quote unquote, nobody's going to cheer a Japanese guy. Okay, so you watched that John Wayne movie last night, didn't you? It's just, I just think it's a matter of book. It's casting. If they're in the TV business, then maybe they're not in the booking anymore. Maybe they're in casting. And if that's the case, then cast this man to where he best can utilize his skill set and in a. There's a lot of Asian Americans here. And so are you going to offend them by painting his face and him being the great Kabuki all of a sudden?
And so, I mean, as far as his ceiling, I mean, Nakamura is the kind of guy, like I said, he's got a lot of charisma. I would imagine that you would take a look at him and say, this is a guy that they can make money with. This is a guy that can go pretty far.
Yeah, and I tell you, here's how I would look at that deal. I would, the reaction for him, mark my words, and this is not a revelation, will be epic in Dallas at the NXT show. The crowd will come unglued because he has a very devout, passionate cult following. And that what they see in him that have turned them on, others can see in more numbers when he gets on Raw or SmackDown or wherever it may be. But he's a gold mine. I'm just telling you. I really believe he's a gold. When I watched him work, and he had one of the great best matches of the year, according to the experts, at the Wrestle Kingdom 9. I, I walked away from there saying, I've seen something very special tonight that, you know, resonated with me. Wasn't made to you. This guy might be pretty good someday. I was thinking, well, WWE, if back in my day as the head of talent relations, and I'm sure they were too, because he had a contract January to December, you know, he would be on my radar big time. And I'd be making all kinds of little covert inroads to him, off the record, off the radar contacts. You want him to know you want it, and we want you here. So hopefully they'll hit with him. You know, I'd love to see him at WrestleMania next year in a main event level match. There's no reason he shouldn't be there.
Now, you said WrestleMania. WrestleMania is coming up. You've called a few of those in your day. Roman Reigns is having a tough time lately with these crowds, but the company seems hell-bent on coronating him as the guy. Where do you fall on that spectrum? You know, is there a change to be made with him going forward, or do you stay the course?
I look at things maybe through a different set of eyes than some people because of my past administrative duties. As far as Roman Reigns being the guy, he has all the intangibles to be the guy. He's trustworthy. He's honest. He's physically fit. He's not broken down. He's a hard worker. He's loyal. He's got a great look. The women love him. But saying all that, he's been force-fed to the audience. He's been put into high-level positions week after week after week after week, seemingly with no momentum. So my take on it is that he is the right guy for the job with all the intangibles, but he's miscast. He should probably be a villain and a heel. And maybe, you know, it rings my memory that this might be an interesting opportunity to potentially think about having a double turn with Triple H and Reigns like Bret Hart and Steve Austin did at WrestleMania 13. However it comes out, however way you draw the picture for me, he should be a villain. And doing a double turn where Mr. McMahon helps him beat Triple H, McMahon and he leave rejoicing. I even had an idea where you'd have Rock in Reigns' corner to offset McMahon in the other corner, and Reigns and McMahon conspire to lower the boom on Rock and to Triple H as Reigns leaves with the title. Now he leaves with heat. Now he's a made man in the character that people have already told you that they will support him as a villain. So that's one school of thought, maybe a wrong idea. But I just think he's miscast. He's not the wrong guy as the wrong person. He's playing in the wrong position. He's playing offense, maybe he should be playing defense, or vice versa.
Throw one more at you here. We learned on Monday the Fabulous Freebirds are finally being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in Dallas, which seems rather appropriate. Thoughts on the Freebirds finally getting the call?
Well, you know, a lot of people will say it's about time. What took so long? I get that. I'm just happy. When I went to the Hall of Fame in 2007, I wasn't even expecting it. I wasn't even thinking about it. Nothing. The thing about the Freebirds, and Michael Hayes in particular, is they've been thinking about it for a long time. And they, every year about this time, it always comes up, it's the Freebirds. They're a very popular annual topic of the Hall of Fame. And there's no doubt they've been deserving for a long time. But they're going to go in associated probably with the biggest attended WrestleMania in history, in the territory that they help establish them as major, major stars that they electrified with the Von Erichs. All great fit. Everything has a reason. So I look at it really as, are they really too late? I look at it more appropriately, maybe they're just right on time. And it'll be good. Michael will give a great talk. His acceptance speech will be epic. So, and it'll be a, you know, probably the best prop bet on the board that night will be what Michael Hayes wears. Because what color will it be? I suggest it might be some pastel or some fruit color.
Well,
he's going to dress very vibrantly.
Well, it would be kind of funny to me if him and the Godfather going in together, if they would show up wearing the same thing.
That's not likely to happen, but they might be in the same time zone with their color scheme. So it'll be fun. Michael will do a good job. But I'm happy for him. You know, Bill Watts put the Freebirds together with Buddy Roberts. That was a smart move because Buddy was the ring general, the psychologist, and really helped those guys with their psychology and their presentation. So Buddy was very, very underrated. Just absolutely magnificent hand. And then Bill put Michael and myself together as the color, as the broadcast team for UWF Wrestling. And that worked out really well. I really enjoyed working with Michael. Michael, like Paul Heyman, enjoyed being a villain. And it came naturally to him. And I don't say that in a mean sense. That's the greatest trait in the world for a wrestling villain, is to come naturally. So I enjoyed working with him a lot. So I'm happy for him. And finally, that next year at this time, it'll be the fans have to rally around some other cause instead of the Freebird. So we'll see who it is next year. But I'm happy for him this year. It'll be fun. I won't get to go out because I'm doing my one-man show just before the Hall of Fame at the House of Blues. And then after the Hall of Fame, I'm doing my second show on Saturday at the House of Blues. So it's only a 10-minute walk from my venue to theirs. So I might slip over there and try to catch a little of it, but it's going to be a pretty busy Saturday for me. But I'm happy for those guys. Sting, I'm happy for him. What a good guy. Charles Wright, he helped me a lot in behind-the-scenes issues. He was the voice of reason to a lot of people. So I'm happy for all those guys. It's good for them, and I welcome them to the club.
Well, I know you're busy. I want to thank you for your time, Jim. New Japan on Access TV with Jim Ross and Josh Barnett debuts this Friday, March 4th, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the floor is yours if you'd like to promote your Twitter and anything else people should know about.
Well, you know, nothing major. The Twitter's pretty easy. It's JRSBBQ. I mentioned I'm going to be in Dallas on Saturday before WrestleMania, and then after Raw on Monday at the House of Blues, doing three shows, three different guests, Q&A's, a little stand-up. We'll have some fun with that. I'm doing my boxing debuts on Saturday, March 12th. That's going to be in Vegas. Zab Judah's in the main event. So that'll be a fun journey for me, a new venture, a new adventure, quite frankly. Then, of course, we got our Fight app, where last week we carried the Ring of Honor pay-per-view on our FITE Fight TV app. It's free, and we carry a lot of pay-per-views and free wrestling, free boxing, free and pay-per-view MMA. So it's a real cool app. It's a great movie. It's a neat thing. So I'm staying busy. I'm having fun. And I hope that folks will try us out on Friday night. I think it's just going to be a little different presentation that they're accustomed to. Is it better? I'm not going to say it's better. I'm just saying it's different. And it might be, you might find as a wrestling fan that this is kind of what you remember in one generation. And it's interesting to see, to hear the announcers stay focused on the match and not be digressing on a consistent basis. So it'll be fun. It's going to be fun. I'm really pumped about it. I'm really happy to be back in the wrestling business, and I'm really happy that I'm going to get a chance to do boxing and get my feet wet in new water.
Well, JR, I can tell you the fans are happy to have you back in wrestling. So it's been a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate it, Jason. You did a good job, and I appreciate talking to you.